Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Are we live? Yes, we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. Lord, help me. Hopefully this all works. God bless you guys. Welcome to the broadcast. Hello, hello, hello. Let me fix my chat here. If this chat does not work on my other computer here screen, this is going to be an awkward stream because it's Q&A and I won't be able to see any of the questions. So hopefully it works. God bless you guys. Type something whenever you're in here and when you can see me and hear me. Until then, I'm going to check my phone because, I don't know. This restream chat just... I hear myself on my phone. So I think we are live. Let me double check here. Welcome, 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 everybody. Okay, I do see some chat. Here we go. It's starting to come up. I was going to have to put my phone up as backup. There we go. Yes, thank you, Lord. It's working. I was like, man, this is going to be an awkward stream. I'm going to be talking to myself the entire time. All right. We see you. Okay, we're here. It's working. Let's make sure this is going. I'm streaming from somewhere else in my house, so hopefully this works. What's up? See you. All right, good. Okay. Oh, I should have probably moved this over. It's okay. I'll fix it as we're live. It's all good. I'm a nerd. That's what nerds do. Okay, welcome everyone. So today we're going to do Q&A. Whenever I do my Mondays or Tuesday streams, I don't have time usually at the end to sit for a long time and hang out and talk to the chat. Now, although through the times on Mondays and Tuesdays, I'm reading the chat the entire time, I don't necessarily have a chance to respond and engage. So some of you type when I'm live on Monday and Tuesday thinking I've never read your comments. I've read your comments. The nice ones, the mean ones. As I'm sharing, teaching, preaching, or having guests on, I'm reading the comments. I'm engaging with people. What's up, Shane? What's up, bro? So this is a chance where we can answer questions, hang out. It's a laid-back, chill stream. Thursday at noon. I say I'm going to do these every week, and I struggle to get these done because I'm somewhere in the morning, and then I get home late on Thursdays, and sometimes I don't make it. But anyway, here we are. Coolest nerd ever. Thank you so much, Robert. We're going to engage with the chat. What bitrate are you at? I am at, I think, 14,000. But I'm also running on a laptop, which is not as powerful as my main computer, so I don't know. And I'm running in 1080p, not 4K. So nerd talk, first question there. Hey, we just answered the first question. I've made two mistakes today. Mistake number one is I'm accidentally matching the couch. So if you can see here, my wife told me as I was going to my stream, you're gonna be matching the couch, and I'm like, oh, the couch won't be in the video, but here we are. Me and the couch are matching. I'm just gonna blend in with the furniture here. And then what's mistake number two? I forgot about my second mistake. Oh, mistake number two is I didn't put the chat on slow mode. So for the Q&As, they go through fast, and I should have it on slow mode, but I don't, but it's okay. Some of you are like me, you're Italian, you're Hispanic, you talk fast, you talk loud, you type fast. It all goes good, it all works. Camouflage, yeah, I'm a floating head right now. I'm a floating head. Hello from Lodi. Thank you for being here from Lodi, Michelle. By the way, guys, I'm gonna be preaching in Stockton this Sunday. Five services. Are you ready for this? 8:15, 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2 o'clock. Yes, five. And I'm gonna be preaching loud and wild like I always do, five times. So be praying for me, guys, this Sunday. Help me, Lord. I'm gonna make it through in Jesus' name. It's just one of those things where it's like five is a lot. It's a lot to preach the way I preach for five times in a row. It's a long day. I get there at 7 a.m. and get done at home at 5 p.m. I'll have the books there as well if you wanna purchase the books in person. If you're in California, drive out. I only preach in California every few months, so yeah, drive out. Okay, this is not going to be a call-in. This is going to be answering questions from the chat. So when we do call-ins, we answer four questions in an hour. These, we can answer 15 to 20 questions in an hour. So it works. It works better. Do I buy subs? No. I've never bought any subs, and I've never bought any followers or likes or anything like that. It makes no sense to buy followers, likes, or subs, because if you do, those people are not gonna engage because they're not real. And when the YouTube algorithm sees you have lots of subscribers but no one engages, they don't recommend your videos. So it's completely pointless to buy any likes, any followers, any subs. All it does is inflate your ego, but it doesn't help grow your channels. And not only that, it's disingenuous. And to me, it's being fraudulent. If you're buying followers and likes, you're a fraud. That's all there is to it. I personally don't know anyone that buys followers or likes. I know of people that are not friends of mine that have done that in the past, and it's not a good idea. It will literally ruin your page. It'll ruin your page. Is it a sin If I'm the one doing tattoos, that's a good question, Jesus. I think you need to use conviction. If the Lord tells you that it is, then it is, right? Because the Bible says if you're convicted about something, but you do that thing anyways, then it is sin for you. So there could be something like, I'll just use an example. Say I'm convicted of drinking Gatorade, and I believe, like, I have this conviction that if I drink Gatorade, I'm sinning because of, let's say, I don't know, red 40, blue 20. I don't know what's in Gatorade, but, and I do it anyway, even though it's not a sin to drink a Gatorade, because I'm doing it against my own convictions, it becomes sin for me. So that's like the disputable matters that Paul talks about. So if you feel convicted, Jesus, as you're doing tattoos, or you feel like it is a sin and the Lord's convicted you about it, it actually becomes a sin for you, even if it's not a sin. Now, in the Old Testament, there is portions of scripture that talk about marking bodies for the dead, but it wasn't speaking of modern day tattoos. And to my knowledge, I can't find any biblical precedent in the New Testament that tattoos are necessarily a just flat out sin. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with tattoos. Now, I don't have any tattoos, although I used to want some, because the Lord told me when I started preaching that if you get tattoos, people aren't going to hear you preach and you're going to be a stumbling block to them. And so for me, if I get tattoos, it will be considered sin because the Lord's told me not to. So it's that conviction. But generally, I can't just say, oh yeah, if you have tattoos, that you're in sin. Gatorade's poison for your body. I have a bottle of Gatorade over here. I think it was one of my kids. Help me, Lord. All right. Oh man, this chat's cut off here. Let me see. Let me load this. Let's see if I can get this fixed. Come on, Restream. Restream, why don't you get your act together? How do we pay so much money for you per month and you don't even have your stuff right? Oh, you know what? Maybe this is my fault. Let me try to fix this. Oh yeah. That was my fault. Sorry, Restream. That was my fault. I didn't have the chat set up right on that end. Okay. How do I know if I'm being convicted? You'll know. The conviction is that, like, ugh, that feeling that I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing it anyways. It's that nasty feeling on the inside of you that you're doing something wrong. And now if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not gonna have that conviction. The law will convict you, the just knowing that this is wrong to do, but the Holy Spirit coming in you is the one that brings a conviction. I didn't have conviction for years, and I grew up in church, but when the Holy Spirit came in me, I was instantly convicted about things that I was never convicted about before. What is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? All right, very simple. When Jesus talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the Bible makes it explicitly clear what it is, okay? Jesus is casting out demons. So he's casting out demons. The Pharisees come and say he's doing work for Satan. The work he's doing is of the devil. He's using Satan's power. Jesus' response is, if I'm of Satan, how could a kingdom divided stand? How can I be casting out demons in the power of Satan? That makes no sense at all. But then he goes directly into the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So when you are attributing what God is doing to Satan doing it, for example, let's just say somebody gets healed miraculously in Jesus' name. And then all of a sudden you go, that's demonic, that's the devil. You're attributing the work of the Holy Ghost, which is, let's say, healing supernaturally, to the work of Satan. And you're saying what the Holy Spirit is doing is demonic. Jesus says, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And it's right there in the text. There's no like, well, it means if you resist. I used to think that too. Like if you just resist the Holy Spirit your whole life and, you know, it just makes it clear. Jesus goes, if you're saying the work I'm doing is demonic, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So that's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So I'm very careful. Like if I see people doing things and I'm like, I don't feel like that might not be God, I don't say anything. I'm not going to speak out against it because I'm not even trying to risk blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If there's a chance that it's God, don't play games. Don't risk it. And there's a lot of people online that are like, that's demonic, that's demonic. They'll see the Holy Spirit moving, and because they're, you know, let's just be honest, they're in some religious doctrine, they're bound to some religious doctrine, they'll be like, that's demonic, that's demonic, that's demonic. I want to say something so bad about a video that went viral recently, but I'm going to hold my tongue. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I'm going to hold my tongue on it. I want to say something, but I'm not going to. So that's called a self-control, and that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All right. What other questions do we have? What's the longest book in the Bible? I don't know off the top of my head, but somebody Google it. I would guess the book of Job. Somebody let me know. Book of Isaiah or book of Job? Let me know if I'm wrong about that because I'm interested in that. Okay. What are the works in faith? Let's see. What are the works in faith without works is dead? Okay, the works is just the evidence of your salvation. I would say works are not only I'm sharing my faith, right? I'm praying for people. I'm discipling people. I'm going to a local church. Oh, Book of Isaiah. Okay, I thought it was Job or Isaiah. These are works, but also the works of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of my life, the evidence would be the works. The Bible makes it clear over and over again. If you say you're a Christian, for example, and you see somebody in need and don't help them, the truth is not in you. And James makes it clear too, and so does John. When you're saying, oh, I'm a believer, oh, I'm this, and you're not helping people, like you're passing somebody by, he goes, what good is it just saying you're a Christian, right? You're just saying it. And he says, don't love in word and in truth, but in deed and in action. So don't just say, oh, I'm a Christian. Don't just say, oh, I'm a believer. Don't just say, oh, I help the poor. Don't just say, oh, I'm this. Because it's easy for all of us to say that. The Bible goes, prove it. So if you have faith, and this is going to make a lot of people mad, if you have faith, but there's no evidence of the faith you say you have, you don't have faith. That's what the Bible says, faith without works is dead. It's not saving faith. So you can say all you want, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but you're living in sin, you're living in compromise, you're fornicating, you're lying, you're a cheater, and there's no evidence in your life, then your faith without works is dead. And people hate that because like, what's not about works, brother? Guys, that is a lie. The Bible makes it clear over and over again, works matter. Now, works don't gain you salvation. They're not the way you earn salvation. They're the evidence or the fruit of your salvation. Let me say it this way. Works are not the root of your salvation. They're the fruit of your salvation. So there should be works in your life. And I need to turn down my AC because I said it was 63 in here and I set it to, oh no, 65 in here and I set it to 63. And now my feet are freezing. I can't even feel my feet. So give me 1 second. I'm going to turn my AC down. Hold on. All right, my feet were freezing. I felt like I was streaming in Alaska. So here we go. How do I start evangelizing and speaking? Let me see. How do I start evangelizing? Oh man, I lost it. How do I start evangelizing and speaking about God to family? Start with your testimony. Start with what God has done in your life or share a story you know. Share a testimony of somebody else. Share how what God has done in a person that you know's life or a person's testimony you've read or watched online. Start there. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to get it all right. I always like to ask people questions. Hey, this is a good question to ask people. What do you think about God? Well, I just asked some guy this, one of my friends the other day. What do you think about God? Not preaching to you, not screaming at you, not trying to convince you. What do you think about God? Oh, well, I don't really know. You know, I was raised like this, but I'm not sure. Okay, that's a great conversation starter. Ask them questions, let them talk, and then you can share, let's say, what God has done in your life or what you've seen God do or what you know God can do, right? Or offer to pray for them. That's a great way to start. Ask questions, let them talk, share your testimony, and then share about what God has done, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ really came, really died to save us from our sins. Get that basic gospel down so that when you're sharing your testimony, you can throw that in there as well. But another good thing you can do with friends and family is like, hey, if you ever need prayer, let me know. Because my thing is this, when I'm going to witness to somebody, let's say a friend or a family member, you got to saturate them in prayer. You got to saturate them in prayer. You got to pray for them. God, unblind them. God, open up their eyes. God, make their heart fertile soil. You don't just go in there and start, you know, preaching to them without first praying, because that ground is rocky ground and the Lord has to till the soil of their heart and get them prepared to hear the gospel. Because remember, the devil blinds the mind of unbelievers. So they're blinded. They can't see the truth. And no matter what you say, they can't see it because they're blind. So yeah, it's not just saying it. Like you can tell a blind person all you want what red looks like, but you're just telling them isn't enough. Their eyes got to open before they can understand what red is. And that's the same thing with unbelievers, is they're blinded. So you can tell them all you want about the gospel, but until the Lord unblinds them. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, guys. One thing we've done, we've taken the Holy Spirit out of evangelism, out of witnessing. You got to let the Holy Spirit work on people. The Holy Spirit is moving and working. And it's a supernatural experience when people are born again. Romans 1:16, I'm unashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and the salvation. Jesus said, you must be born again. Being born again is a supernatural work. Is a supernatural work. Is pork unclean? Would love to hear your thoughts. Mark 5 speaks about demons entering swine. Yeah, so that demons entering swine, that was before the new covenant was really instituted, before Jesus went to the cross. But I will say that the Bible makes it clear in Peter's vision in the book of Acts, don't call unclean what God calls clean. And one of those things was pork. So I personally do not believe in the New Testament or the New Covenant that pork is unclean, or let's say you can't eat bacon, right? Which, I don't even want to go there. Of course, it's not good for you. Either way, it's not like bacon's not good for you. But I wouldn't say like you're sinning if you eat bacon. It's not a sin because we're in a new covenant. We're in a new era. And the Bible says don't call unclean what God calls clean. And God made it clear. Peter's like, I can't eat that. I can't eat pig. I can't eat this. And the Lord's like, eat, Peter. Don't call unclean what I call clean. Does it matter how long you pray? Well, that's a great question. I would say that when you're praying, things are happening. Things are moving, right? So I don't know, most basic example I could say is like, I need you to build this fence, okay? The fence is gonna take you 5 hours to build. You can work on that fence for 5 minutes, but you're not gonna get a lot of progress. You're not gonna get a lot of results. You're not gonna get it done. You can work on it for 40 minutes, you know, maybe you work 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Same thing with working out. Like if you're gonna go to the gym and work out, you could work out for 5 minutes. It's like, does it matter how long I work out? Well, it does, yeah, because when you're working out, you're growing your muscle. There's something happening in your body. Similarly to prayer, when you pray, something happens. If you pray 5 minutes, you're gonna accomplish less than if you pray for 1 hour. So praying long is powerful, but it's not a religious thing. It's not a religious thing like, I have to pray for 45 minutes or God's not gonna hear me. No, something's happening when I pray and the Lord is moving, the Lord is responding on my behalf. God's moving in people's lives and things are happening, or maybe I'm just worshiping and glorifying God. In that place of worship, that place of prayer, something's changing in me. Something's changing in me. When I spend time in the presence of God, something changes in me. So I wouldn't say like it matters, but it does matter. Pray until you find the Lord, right? It's like, how long should I pray? Well, how long do you have, number one? Number two, I would pray until. Same, it's like, how long do I look for my car keys? I look until I find them. So pray until something happens. That's PUSH, the acronym people use. PUSH in prayer, pray until something happens. That's the kind of the rule I would use with prayer. Now, if you're driving and you have 30 minutes till you get to work, 30 minutes is great. 5 minutes is great, right? It's what, is an hour better? Yeah, of course it is. Like, is 5 minutes of worship better or an hour better? Well, more time in God's presence is better. So an hour is better. But don't be religious about it. Yeah, so pray until you feel the Holy Spirit. Like, I'll have times where I pray and then I feel like kind of like a release. Like, okay, my assignment's done for prayer. All right, let's see. Is it okay for a deliverance team to be made up of one person if the sessions are online? Yeah, that's fine. If you're doing Zoom deliverance, one person's fine. What does it mean to die in your sin and do you go to heaven? All right. I'm not fully sure what you're asking, but I think what you're saying is like, if I die while sinning or while I'm in sin, will I go to heaven or go to hell? I don't know the line. I don't know the line of when's the last time you sinned before you died or what type of sin was it. But I will say this, you're on dangerous grounds if you're continuing in disobedience and sin. So that's what I would say. Bible says if you make a practice of sin, you are of the devil and your father is the devil. So this is gonna make, again, a lot of the once saved, always saved community mad, which that community is preaching another gospel because Jesus did not preach once saved, always saved. None of the disciples preached once saved, always saved. So once saved, always saved is another gospel. It is not what the Bible declares, not what the early church fathers teach. It's just not what the Bible teaches. The idea that if I pray a prayer, get saved, serve the Lord for a year, backslide, spend 10 years in rebellion and die, I'll still go to heaven. That is not biblical, okay? So I think that when you start repeating sin and you're just in the same sin over, there's no repentance, right? Let's just say, what's a super common sin? Pornography, very common. I don't even know what the statistics are right now, but a lot of guys and girls are struggling with that sin. If you are struggling with pornography, right, and you watch pornography or whatever, engage in some sexual act, and then you repent, you're broken, I hate this, I'm disgusted by this, and you turn from it, all that, I think that would be genuine repentance. And then you go, I'm not doing this again. 5 months go by, you fall into another time and you hate it. I hate this sin, Lord, I repent. I think there's grace there, okay? There's grace there. You hate it, there's conviction, there's a repentance after, but you're like, I'm never doing this again. It's not premeditated, whatever, all right? That's guy number one. I think there's grace there if this is happening every few months or whatever. I think God wants to set you free that you never do that again, because I don't ever think there's justification for doing that. The Lord set me free, how many years ago was it now? 15 years ago, and I've never gone back, praise the Lord. So he can set you free. Now, that's person one. Person two is, I'm a Christian, I'm serving the Lord, all that, quote unquote, I'm saved. And then I watch pornography, whatever. God forgive me. Watch it again next week. Oh, God forgive me. No repentance, no fear of God, no hatred of sin. Couple days go by, watch it again. Couple days go by, watch it again. 5 years I've been doing this. I've been in this, and this goes for any sin, but I'm just using this as an example. I'm in the same thing over and over again with no repentance. To me, now the Bible says if you're doing that, you're rehearsing or practicing sin, you're a son of the devil. That's just what the Bible says. First John, I don't want to tell you. So then the question becomes this, and this is what I'll end with. Is a son of the devil saved? Answer in the chat. If the devil is your father, do you go to heaven? Because First John says, if you make a practice of sin, your father's not God, your father's the devil. Because those that are children of God, they've been cleansed, redeemed, freed from the power of sin. The Bible says, how can you go on living in sin when you've died to sin? So that's why I'm like, no, if you're practicing these things, I don't believe you're saved. I don't believe you're going to heaven. Right? You can say, well, it's work, salvation. Say whatever you want. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm not the one telling you that. The Bible tells us that. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. Can I still be a friend of the world and still be saved? Well, I mean, does God allow his enemies into heaven? These are things that we have to think about. These are things that we have to think about. And there's a lot of people preaching greasy, greasy grace. I'm going to tell you why. This is a bonus for you guys. I'm going to tell you why there's a popular doctrine of once saved, always saved, greasy grace, live however you want, doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you why. The guys preaching it are stuck in sin, and they want to justify that they're not willing to get right with God, repent, and turn from it. That's the bottom line. They're justifying. So they preach greasy grace because they still want to watch the movies. They still want to drink the drinks. They still want to go hang out with the person. They still want to cuss once in a while. These are ministers I'm talking about. They still want to go do the thing that they should be convicted about. That's the thing. And they justify it. I'm telling you that right now. That's the truth. The devil has used them to preach another gospel. Now, let's say they're right and I'm wrong. Okay? Let's pretend that they're right and I'm wrong. Okay? So I lived an extra clean life. I lived my life to a higher standard. I was living free from habitual sin. What happens to me? I still go to heaven. God's not going to go there. You live too holy, Isaiah. You live too holy, Suzanne. You live too holy, Destiny, Andy. You're too clean. No, he's not going to say that. What if I'm right and they're wrong and they lived in compromise and sin? Then you know what happens? They go to hell. I still go to heaven and they go to hell. So either way, why not just be safe and just walk with Christ and get free? God, and if you've gotten free and then years go by and you're back in bondage, God can free you again. The same blood that cleansed you the first time is the same blood that will cleanse you the second time. So to me, it's like, it's a no-brainer. Why would you even play with sin? Go read the Bible. Don't play with sin. All right? And you guys get me fired up when those certain questions, because I'm very passionate about this whole thing. This whole thing. Why do you think many Christians believe that Christians can't have demons? Well, I'll tell you why. Because deliverance is rare in the church. And I'll also say, pastors preach that, and I'm going to say this nicely, because they're ignorant. The word ignorant is not a mean word. It means they just don't know. They just don't know. I've talked to so many pastors that are like, I don't believe Christians got demons, and then their family member who's a Christian manifests, and now they believe. Well, they were just ignorant. They just didn't know. And because most churches don't cast out demons, even though Jesus did it everywhere he went, all the time, in every city, so did the disciples. Most churches don't do it. Most people don't know Christians can be demonized. It's the greatest lie of our generation. The devil loves that lie. And guys, honestly, most Christians don't do anything Jesus said to do. They don't pray for the sick. They don't cast out demons. They don't preach the gospel. They don't make disciples. They don't baptize anybody. They don't even hardly pray. So it's just not happening. They're not seeing it. They're not doing it. They're ignorant to it, right? It's like, people tell me, you're doing deliverance wrong. Okay, show me how to do it. Oh, wait, you don't do it. And that's not, I'm not even trying to be arrogant or trying to be haughty or anything like that. It's like, you're telling me that deliverance is wrong the way I'm doing it, but you've never done it. You've never done it. So we need to get back to what the Bible teaches. What's up, Mike? Thank you, bro. We need to get back up to what the Bible teaches. And pastors aren't doing what the Bible teaches, and neither are most Christians. So it's like, well, my pastor doesn't believe Christians have demons. Cool. Cool. Stay in bondage. He could keep his church in bondage. That's fine. Half his congregation, more, are probably demonized. And I hate to say it this way, but he's like the person in John 10. He's the guy that runs when the wolf comes. The hireling doesn't care about the sheep. Isn't going to fight for you. That he's a hireling. He's just doing it for a job. But the true shepherd fights for the sheep. So again, it's harsh, but it's true. It's true. The devil is ravaging the church. And we have all of these preachers out here like, Christians can't have demons. That's not biblical. The Bible actually teaches the opposite of what you're saying. The Bible has so much evidence to say Christians can be demonized. You really think, I'm going to leave with this and I'll answer the next question. So you're a Christian, right? And let's just say you're a Christian and you go and play. You're a Christian and you go and see a medium. All right, you're a Christian, but you go and see a psychic. So you're telling me all of a sudden now, because you're a Christian, when you go see the psychic, you're not going to open yourself up to demons? So now because you're a Christian, you can't have a demon? You just, no demons can come in because I'm a Christian. So now if you watch porn as a Christian, you can't get a demon from that now? You're exempt now? You have like this barrier protection where I can watch all the porn I want, not get any demons because now I'm a Christian. And the irony is the guys that teach that also believe if you do watch pornography, you're once saved, always saved. You won't lose your salvation anyway. It's like, it's such an oxymoron. Okay, so now let's say I'm a Christian in bondage. I have to now become an unbeliever because deliverance isn't for Christians. So I have to be an unbeliever to be able to get freedom. What is this theology, y'all? The more I say that doctrine, the more ridiculous it sounds. It's crazy. All right. No, demons can't come in because the Holy Spirit resides within us. Well, here's the thing, Ace. The Holy Spirit resides in your spirit. Demons reside in your soul. So they're not in the same place. And also, demons and the Holy Spirit can reside wherever they want. You're telling me if there's demons at a club, the Holy Spirit can't show up? If there's demons at your family reunion, the Holy Spirit can't show up because demons and the Holy Spirit can't be in the same place? Where's that in the Bible? That's not in the Bible. Well, light and darkness can't dwell together. It doesn't say they can't, it says they shouldn't. And that verse is talking about believers and unbelievers partnering, not demons. Not demons. Well, if I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, how could the Holy Spirit dwell and share a temple with Satan? That's talking about sexual sin, brother, not demons. So, yeah. The bottom line is this. If you open the door, you will get a demon. I've seen thousands of Christians, thousands of pastors get free from demonic activity. So you can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. All right. Is schizophrenia connected to demonic possession? I think I've answered this a bunch of times before. I'm going to make it clear. I'm going to make it simple. If you hear voices and you go to the doctor and say, I'm hearing voices in my head, they're going to say you're schizophrenic. They're not going to say get deliverance. They're not going to say, oh, go to Isaiah Saldivar's deliverance map. No, they're going to say you're schizophrenic. Here's medication. Now, I'm going to say if you're hearing voices, you need deliverance. And they're going to say you're schizophrenic. So yes, oftentimes, not every time, schizophrenia would be demonic. All right, Isaiah, would it be sinful for me to marry again in my new life in Christ? I was divorced before I got saved. That's a good question. You know, I have never thought about that. I've done a lot of videos on divorce and remarriage. There are biblical grounds for divorce, like if your spouse decides to leave you because you're a believer now and they don't want to stay with you, or things like sexual immorality or your spouse is cheating on you. There are biblical grounds for divorce. God never intended for divorce. God allowed Moses to give people divorce certificates because of their rebellion. So divorce was never God's design. God wasn't like, I'm going to create divorce. God hates divorce. As far as not being saved, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I guess it depends on, I mean, I'm interested in what the chat thinks, but it depends on if you got divorced for well, it's like, did you get divorced for biblical reasons? But then again, you weren't even saved, so you weren't going by the Bible. So I don't know. I've never been asked that or thought about that. If you got divorced before you were saved, can you remarry now? I do believe there's biblical grounds for remarriage because there's a bunch of verses that talk about you're no longer bound to the marriage. So if you're not bound to the marriage, you're not married, you can go ahead and remarry. Now, you can't just go get remarried if you got a divorce. Let me say it this way. If you got a divorce off of on unbiblical grounds, then biblically you cannot go get remarried. But if there were biblical grounds and you're no longer tied to the divorce, like your husband dies, the Bible says when that person dies, they're no longer in that covenant. They're no longer bound. So if your spouse dies, you can biblically get remarried. But again, if you weren't saved before, I don't know. That's a good question. Somebody in the chat, let me know. I've never thought about that. I'm going to look it up today. Oh man, I don't have all the answers. Yeah, welcome to my channel. I don't have all the answers. I'm learning with you guys. All right, let's see. Why do some demons come out at salvation and others don't? Well, the Bible never promises that when you get saved, every demon's going to leave you. That's just not biblical. It never says that. If that was the case, we would never need deliverance. Just get them saved. In Acts 8, when Philip preaches and then casts out demons, if it was good enough to just get them saved, Philip would never cast out demons. Just get them saved. There's no need for deliverance if that's the case. But there is a need for deliverance because you don't automatically get completely free right at the moment of salvation. So, yeah. I think some demons can leave, and I think some demons do sometimes, but it's not like a biblical thing, or it's not like a, I don't know how to say it. It's not what usually happens. Okay, I started your book this morning. Will you talk more about your experience when you gave life to Christ at the church? Thank you for asking. I probably won't share the testimony on this, and hi, Christy Smith, by the way. Love you guys. I probably won't share the testimony right now on this stream, because I'm gonna go live answering questions for like another 30 minutes, but if you type in Isaiah Saldivar's testimony, I have an hour and a half video about my encounter with the Lord and my testimony. So like great detail, more than my book. My book is very short testimony because the point of the book was deliverance, not the testimony. But go watch my testimony on my channel or other channels and you'll find like really in depth. All right, let's see. Hello, Isaiah. Okay, here we go. I'm married, but my husband doesn't want children. Come on, chat, scroll up, please. Sorry, guys, I'm having trouble here with the chat. Okay, I'm married, but my husband doesn't want children, and I do. Is it wrong to get a divorce? Oh, first of all, I'm so sorry that you're in that situation. That's extremely tough. This obviously doesn't apply to you, what I'm about to say, but I highly recommend all of you singles, all of you that are dating, all of you that are engaged, please, 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 before you get married, me and my wife should do a marriage stream. Before you get married, talk about kids. Talk about kids. Before me and my wife were even engaged, when I knew that I was gonna propose to her and this was gonna be my wife, if you guys know our story, we never dated. We have that story on our channel somewhere. Just find the stream with my wife in it. We got engaged and got married 3 months later. I would say we group dated because we were in ministry together, but we never like dated. Like we weren't like, I'm boyfriend and girlfriend. We just got engaged and got married. We talked about that before we got engaged. I was like, I want a bunch of kids, at least 10. So if you're not cool with that, no way. No, I'm not gonna marry you. So, okay, now that doesn't apply to you, asking the question. I will answer your question here in a minute. But you have to make sure, Alyssa said he's always wanted 10 kids. Hey, listen, there's still time. There's still time. We're young. I'm gonna be 34 in a couple months. Alyssa's, you know, young. She's, what are you, Alyssa, 31, 32? I don't know, she's a year younger than me. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Here's the bottom line. Make sure you talk about kids first because it's a major point of contention. Talk about kids. Talk about religion, which if you're not dating or marrying a Christian, you're doing it wrong anyways. Talk about all these important things. Talk about all these important things. Of course, that doesn't apply to you because you're at a place now where your husband doesn't want kids. This is a very hard place to be. A very hard place to be. But I cannot stand here as a preacher of the gospel and tell you it's okay to get a divorce. Well, my wife's 1 year younger than me. I'm about to be 34, so she's 32. She'll turn 33 this year. You know, it's hard to do the math when I'm thinking, reading the entire chat, reading the chat. Like, that's what I'm looking at. If you're wondering, where are you looking? I'm looking at the chat. I cannot tell you that you can divorce him biblically because you can't. Biblically, not wanting kids is not grounds for divorce. From the top of my head and from the teachings I've done that I can think of, death is one way to get divorced. If the person dies, you're no longer bound to the marriage. So that wouldn't really be a divorce, but you can get remarried if the person dies. If they commit sexual sin or if they cheat on you, then you can go get a divorce. You have biblical grounds. And that's another topic I have a video about, because it's like that word when it talks about lust also falls under like pornography. So that's a whole nother thing you're gonna have to just go watch my video on and seek the Lord on that. Also, there's another one. If they abandon you, so if they just leave you. So if you become a believer and your husband decides he doesn't want to stay with you, you can biblically get divorced. You can biblically get divorced. Now, if you become a believer and your husband stays an unbeliever but is willing to stay with you, you cannot get a divorce, okay? So death is one, cheating is another one, and then the other one is if the person abandons you or leaves you, or you become a believer and they abandon you because they don't want to do nothing to do with you. You have biblical grounds for divorce. If they don't want kids, that's not biblical grounds. It's unfortunate, but it's not biblical grounds. But here's what you can do. You can pray for them. Yeah. I know people that never wanted kids and now they have a bunch. So pray for them. Pray that God would open their heart. Pray that God would change them. God can change them. God can change their heart. And how could you not want kids? I know there's a lot of you. There's 1,000 of you on here right now. I know there's a lot of you that don't want kids, but yeah, how could you not want kids? That's interesting. Yeah, okay. Anyways, there's a lot of questions. I have a lot I can say about that, but we're going to go to the next question. Okay. Let's see. Oh, I have the wire here right in front of the screen. That's a big mistake here. Man, I just am janky today. Matching the couch. Don't have slow mode on. All right. Kids are a blessing, yes. Isaiah, do you believe in pre-trib? No, I don't. I used to. I taught the entire book of Revelation, verse by verse, pre-trib, and then realized pre-trib is false. So, yeah, I'm post-trib. I think the Bible makes it clear. The Bible also says we're not going to be surprised in the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians talks about that it's not going to be a surprise because we're in the light. Only those that are in darkness will be surprised by the day of the Lord, but we are children of the light. We will not be shocked by the day of the Lord. So yeah, the secret rapture is not biblical. Now, some of you might say, and I would challenge you to go study this, about like, well, the Bible says, Jesus says that one will get taken and one will stay. Well, in the context, he's talking about the days of Noah, and when it means being taken, it meant by being taken of the floodwaters and the wrath of God taking people away. So it actually wasn't good to be taken in that context because it means you're taken away by the wrath of God, just like the flood and the rain took away the ungodly. Jesus says some will be taken away, and he's talking about during that time of tribulation. And then it goes into the time of the rapture, which there will be a rapture. We at the end of the tribulation, we will get raptured. We will meet the Lord in the air, as the Bible says. Wow, sounds biblical. And return to the Lord as a heavenly army during the second coming. Pre-trib teaches three comings. Teaches he came. And I used to be pre-trib. I have videos about why I'm pre-trib. 7 reasons why you should be pre-trib. So just trust me on this. Pre-trib teaches he came once, right? We all know Jesus came and died. He comes a second time to rapture everybody, because it does say the Lord comes and meets us in the air. And then pre-trib believes he comes a third time at the end of the tribulation. So I got somebody told me this, a friend of mine, and this offended me because I was pre-trib and I was like, that's not true. So I'm going to tell you what my friend told me when I was pre-trib. My post-trib friend told me that offended me. He said, Isaiah, I hate to say it, but you believe in three comings of Christ. And I was like, no, I don't. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, I do believe in three comings. So if you're pre-trib, you believe in three comings of Christ. I personally believe in there's two comings, and the second coming is at the end of the tribulation when we get raptured, meet him in the air, return as a heavenly army. So there's a whole lot I could say about that, but it is what it is. Now, somebody's like, how could God let me suffer? You're too westernized if that's your thinking. Guys, just to be clear, there's Christians suffering right now all around the world, and God is allowing it. If you don't think God will allow you to suffer, go read the book of Acts. God allowed people to be beheaded, allowed people to be cut in half, allowed Stephen to get stoned. God allows suffering. I hate to be the one to break it to you. Maybe you haven't read your Bible yet this year. God allows suffering. There's people being suffering right now. So if you're one of those American Church Incorporated that's like, God would never let me suffer through the tribulation. We will be protected from God's wrath to a level, but yes, God will allow incredible suffering to the tribulation for Christians. Preach it, brother. What do you say about people saying it's okay to be a Christian and not go to church? Well, that's a great question. My thing is this, why would you not be involved in a church? It's possible to be a Christian and not go to church. That is possible because your salvation is not predicated on whether you go to church or not. Amen? It's predicated on the finished work of the cross. So yes, you can technically be a Christian and not go to church, but why would you want to? Why would you want to do that? The church has so many benefits. I have videos on this, right? Fellowship of the believer, chance to minister, getting to worship together in a corporate setting where God inhabits the people, support, friendships, finding spouse, there's a bunch of things, right? A lot of you found your spouse in church. Why would you not want to be that? It's like, can you be a car without gas? Yeah, you can, but why would you want to be a car without gas? You can be. Is a car still a car if it's on empty and can't drive? Yes, but you're not going to go anywhere. So this just popped in my head, by the way, right? I would say a Christian that doesn't go to church is like a car without gas. You're not really going to go where you need to go. You still could be a car. You still could be a Christian, but you're not going to go where you need to go. Now, it's one thing to be in a transition where it's like, I can't really find a church in my area, or I'm part of an online church, or I'm struggling to find a church. That's fine. Take your time. You're not going to go to hell if you don't go to church for 2 months because you're in transition. Make sure you're studying, you're praying, you're reading, being involved with what God is doing. But yeah, there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of benefits, right? It's like, would you want to have a job with no benefits or a job with a bunch of benefits? I want benefits. Come on now. Come on now. Okay, let's go to the next question here. It's called being caught up, yes. Thoughts on Johnny Chang. I don't really know a lot about Johnny Chang. I know he's like extremely once saved, always saved. And some of the clips I've heard from him, I completely disagree with when it comes to sin and repentance. And I think I heard somebody doing a video about him, like he teaches one-time repentance. A lot of that stuff I don't agree with. So yeah, I would not agree with him on a lot of those topics and stuff I've heard, but I don't know him enough to be like, oh, this guy. And you know me, I don't call people false teachers or heretics. I don't do that on this channel. So if people call me that, I don't call them that. That's fine. Not that he's called me that, but I've just got a little exposure to him. And from what I've seen when it comes to like once saved, always saved, I just obviously don't agree with. Is gambling a sin? Is slot machines a sin? And somebody said, is speeding a sin? All right, let's talk about it. The Bible says to be wise stewards of your money. I can't really find an explicit place where it says gambling is a sin. But for me personally, I believe it's a sin. So I can't give you a verse and say this is gospel truth, but the Bible says be a wise steward of your money. If God's blessing you with finances, like imagine you're praying for God to bless you with finances and then you take that money and you go put it on the roulette table. Like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. I don't know. Is that godly? I used to be addicted to gambling. When I say addicted, I'm talking addicted. The moment I had any extra money, I would drive straight up to the casino an hour and a half away. I was there multiple times a week. For like a year or two, I was extremely addicted. It's all I could think about. I got saved, got delivered, and I would never gamble. I would never gamble. For me, it's sin. The Lord's brought me out of it. And I would say in general, I can't say blanket statement like, oh, it's a sin if anybody gambles. But I think in general, it probably is sinful because every good and perfect thing comes from God. God's blessing you. Like, I want to be blessed, right? I have a whole video on finances. I want to financially be blessed. I want God to bless my finances, my family. And not only that, I want to be a blessing to others. So I personally believe the only reason why God has blessed me in any capacity, let's just say the subscribers, let's say finances, let's say health, let's say any blessing that comes from God. I personally think that God blessed me so I could bless others. That's it. God blessed me to bless others. So if God blesses me financially, in my mind, I'm like, I want to use this income to bless others, and I want my finances to bless others. If God blesses me with the ability to speak, I want to use this gift to bless others. I am like, I have friends tell me like, you're one of the best communicators and all that. I don't even feel that way. I feel like I'm not a good communicator, honestly. I'm like, I don't, but a lot of friends have told me I am. So I'm like, okay, I'm gifted, I guess, to speak or to preach or to share the word or to make complicated principles simple. I guess I'm blessed with that ability. I have a photographic memory. I can memorize hour-long sermons. I'm blessed with a memory. So what am I going to do with the blessing God's given me of a photographic memory? Use it to bless others. What am I going to do with the blessing God's given me to speak and break down complicated principles and make them simple, use it to bless others. What am I going to do with the finances God has given me? Use it to bless others. What am I going to do with the health God has given me? Use the health God's given me to bless other people, to be on here. You know, I'm not sick today. Praise the Lord. I'm on here. I'm healthy. I'm ready. I'm excited. I feel alive, guys, when I do this. Like, I feel alive. This is my purpose, is to teach and preach. So use that ability. Use that talent that God's given you. Don't throw it away. Don't waste it at the roulette table. You know, God's blessed your finances. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. So I believe, yeah, gambling. What else was the other thing that you guys said? Is it a sin? I think it was gambling, and I don't remember the other thing. But I would say that not being a wise steward of your money. I forgot what the other thing. But they're both. I think I was saying they're both sinful. But I don't remember the second thing we were talking about because I go off on a tangent. I feel empty. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd fill Gabby right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that she would feel full of your presence. She'd feel satisfied that whatever she's going through in life that's making her feel empty, God, I pray for Gabby right now. You'd refill her in Jesus' name. You would baptize her in Jesus' name. Oh, speeding. Thank you, Pastor Christy. Appreciate you. Speeding. All right. How do I say this? The Bible says to obey the laws of the land. All right. Okay, now listen, I'm not saying I'm the safest driver. I'm always following the speed limit. Jared, just, you know, tune out right here. But speeding, or let's just say breaking any law, yes, would be considered a sin because the Bible says not to do it. You're missing the mark. The Bible says obey the laws of the land. Now, to my defense and everybody else's defense in here, okay, and I'm not trying to get around the Bible or anything like that. I did get a degree in administration of justice. I went to school for law enforcement. How do I word this? When the sign on the freeway says 70 miles an hour, technically, that's suggested speed. And when you get a ticket, it's because you went above the suggested speed, something like that. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't be speeding, okay? You shouldn't be speeding. Now, help me, Lord. Blowing a stop sign, that's breaking the rules. You're supposed to stop here. You can cause someone to die and crash and all that. But you know what? If you blow a stop sign, that's breaking the rules, breaking the laws. Yeah, if you break the law, you're sinning. You are sinning. So maybe the Lord's convicting me right now. I need to slow down a little bit. And I learned that whole thing about suggested speed and all that. I know police officers are in the chat and they're like, you're wrong about that. I learned that 15 years ago when I was in college. So I could be, you know, I could be a little bit wrong. Someone says suggested speed. Yes, sir. So, you know, I could be wrong about that, but that was 15 years ago. Someone said no cop, no stop. But yeah, anyways, I'm blushing now. So don't break the law. Don't break the law. Unless, for example, the law is you can't read the Bible, then go ahead and break the law. Because there were people, Alyssa said I have so many words. There were people in the Bible that did, somebody asked me, is it ever okay to lie, right? And I was like, I don't really think there's ever a time or okay. And they were like, there's never a time that it's okay. But then I read the story about Rahab the spy who lied about the men being there that were going to get killed in the city. And I was like, well, in that case, it was okay. So I don't know. Some of these things, not with speeding, but with, like, for example, was it okay to lie? Well, if somebody comes to your house and says, all right, Christianity's banned. Let's just say you're in China, right? We're going to kill everybody in your house that's a Christian. And you have like 5 of your family members living in the basement, hiding from the state police that are killing Christians. And they say, is your family in your basement? And you say, no, I don't think that's a sin to lie. They're literally killing Christians. Or it's illegal to have Bibles. There's some countries where it's illegal to have Bibles. And you're smuggling in Bibles, well, technically you're breaking the law. Are you sinning? In that case, no. See what I'm saying there? Because the law is telling you to go against the laws of God. So I think if the law is telling, and I'm probably going too deep with this, but if the laws are telling you to do things like the laws of God, against the laws of God, then you don't need to obey that law. But of course, speeding, you know, is like, the Bible doesn't say it's okay to speed. Then maybe there is a verse in Psalms where it's like, you know, the Lord is fast like lightning. Oh, okay, well, maybe we could. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, anyway, hopefully that makes sense. Yes, is it okay to smuggle Bibles into closed countries? Yes, it is. It is okay to smuggle in Bibles into closed countries and places where the Bible's legal. Oh, you just said what I was thinking? Oh, Jared asked the question. I didn't even see your question, Jared. I just answered it. Bro, come on now. We're brothers. We're connected like that. You know what I'm saying? All right, I'm going to answer a couple more, and then I'm going to get off, and we have a prayer call at 1:30 p.m. for our monthly partners. If you're not a monthly partner, pray about becoming one. You can do that in the description or in the comments, and you'll get an email today for our prayer call. It's at 1:30 every single week. We meet at 1:30 for prayer. I got a bunch of, how do I say this? I got a bunch of announcements coming soon, like within the next week for you guys, which I'm excited about, and yeah, I'll be talking about the changes in the channel and the direction of the channel and some new things we're doing this year, which I'm excited about. Okay, here we go, here we go. Lots of questions. I forgot to put on slow-mo. That's my fault. Okay, let's see. Okay. I'll give you one. Leah said, I need a Bible. Hold on. Let me scroll up. I'll give you one. I have a bunch in my book. I have a whole chapter on Christians having demons. Let me find this thing. Okay, she said, in all caps, I need Bible for Christians, believers, born again, having demons, please. I've heard testimony and I'm familiar with the concept of it, but I need scripture, one instance in the Bible it happened. All right, so you've already heard testimonies of a lot of people that were Christians that got delivered. You've already heard our teachings about it, all that stuff. I'll just give you one example of a born again believer opening themselves up to demonic spirits or demonic influence, okay? Very simple. You can go read on your own. It's in my book, but I have a bunch of examples in the book, but I'll just give you one. After the cross, because you're probably like, it has to be after the cross. The disciples don't count. All right, that's fine. Acts chapter 4. You can go read it on your own. Acts chapter 4. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, got full of the Holy Spirit. Filled. The Greek word filled. The Holy Spirit entered into them. In that story, we have Ananias and Sapphira. Because in the next chapter, it says Ananias and Sapphira, who were part of those disciples that are just a couple verses ago. Remember, there's no chapters and verses added until over 1,000 years after the Bible was written. I think it was like 1500 AD, chapters and verses were added. But let's just pretend there's no chapter. So Ananias and Sapphira, they're all in a prayer meeting. They all get full of the Holy Spirit. Then all of a sudden, Ananias and Sapphira and all the other believers sell their possessions and give them to the apostles to distribute, right? So Ananias and Sapphira are there. Now, I'm going to tell you in a minute why I'll guarantee you that Ananias and Sapphira were spirit-filled believers. I know you're like, well, they weren't believers. I'm going to tell you why they were. And it's okay, Leah. I know you're not being rude about it. You're being nice about it. You just want an example. Ananias and Sapphira get full of the Holy Spirit in Acts 4. And in Acts 5, Satan fills their heart. Now, interestingly enough, the word filled is the same Greek word in chapter 4 as it is in chapter 5. So chapter 4, we're in the new covenant, they get full of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, a couple verses later, they get full of Satan. And Peter says, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You got filled with Satan. It's literally what the Bible says. Born again, spirit-filled believers, they got full of Satan. Now I know what you're going to ask. Well, why didn't they go through deliverance? I'll tell you why. Because God killed them. God killed them. I would rather get delivered than get killed. God killed them. What voice did I do, Jared? God killed them. So now let me give you the other argument. I really appreciate this answer. No problem, Leah. Let me give you the other argument here. Now you might say, well, they weren't believers. Okay, I'm going to prove to you they were. Number one, these are all the proofs. Number one, what unbelievers do you know that sell all their stuff they have and give half of it to the church? Nobody. Nobody, anybody here knows. No one, there's not one person any of you know that sold all their stuff and gave most of it to the church. That doesn't happen. So we know they weren't unbelievers. But I'll give you another reason why I know they weren't unbelievers. Because I heard one guy be like, they were unbelievers. Let me give you another reason. Number two, God wasn't killing unbelievers for lying. Let me say that again. God wasn't killing unbelievers for lying. If God was just going to start killing every unbeliever that lied, every unbeliever would be dead right there. The whole city would have died. God killed them because they were believers, they were held to a higher standard, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. How could you lie to the Holy Ghost if you're not even a Christian? So, come on, guys. Am I giving a good argument? Is this plausible? They were believers. Now, the reason why God killed them was they lied, okay? And they said they gave everything when they only gave a part of the thing. All they had to do was say, here's half of what we have. And God would have never killed them. But they lied saying we gave everything when they only gave part. So, last thing I'm going to say about this, be very careful saying, I've given everything to God, I'm all in, when you're really a liar and you've not given everything to God and you're not all in. Preach, brother. I praise God that he hasn't struck me dead. I praise God. This is new covenant, y'all. This is new covenant after the cross. This is why I've told people before, your next sin could be your last sin. That's the truth. Your next sin could be your last sin. Don't play games with God. That's a great question to end on. Don't play games with God. Serious. Serious. All right. Let me hang out here for a second with you guys. Those are all the questions I'm going to answer. I think I did good there on answering that. So that's one example, Leah. Thank you for asking. And then the rest are in the book. Guys, if you ask like what Leah just asked, right? Give me one example in the Bible. She's respectful about it. I don't feel attacked. It's not rude. Mods didn't need to block, didn't need to delete. I have no problem answering questions. Now, if she would have said, you're a heretic, give me one example, it's not there, I would have never answered her question. So just be respectful, be kind. If you want your question answered, you know what? Being a jerk is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Being a jerk is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's fruit of a demonic spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. So just be kind, be nice. I know I'm sarcastic. And you know what, guys? Just to tell you, Jesus was sarcastic with the religious people. He was. Jesus was sarcastic. The disciples, Paul was sarcastic to the Pharisees. So sometimes I am being sarcastic, but I'm not ever trying to be rude. I'm not ever trying to be haughty. With religious people, there's times where I'm sarcastic, but it's all in love. It's all in love. All right? We will be live. Well, so Monday we'll probably air the sermon from Sunday because I'm going to be preaching five times. I will have no voice Monday. I will have no voice Monday. Then we will be live with a very special guest on Tuesday. I cannot wait. It's going to be powerful. And then we'll be live again, you know, Thursday. And then next Sunday. So this Sunday, California, Stockton, California, five services. Where do I find the address? I'll post a flyer right now when I'm done. But also, go to my website, isaiahsalvador.com/schedule, and you'll find that there, okay? And by the way, thank you guys for being here. There's 1,000 of you on at 12 o'clock. I appreciate you. 1 o'clock. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you guys. I have a big announcement coming soon. Pray for me. I'm excited to make this announcement, but it's coming soon. It's coming soon, all right? I'll post it next week for sure, and I'm gearing up for it. I'm gearing up for it. A lot of exciting stuff. The book's out. You can get that on Amazon, How to Cast Out Demons. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do it on our website. We need partnership for 2025. It's a new year. All that good stuff. You can partner on the website, isaiahsalvador.com/partner. You can give one time to this stream in the comments. It helps us a lot. We're crowd supported, so this helps. But I thought I'd change it up. You know, usually I'm on my phone in my office. I'm like, hey, we got a couch here. Got, you know, look at this background. What is this background? This is usually I have laser beams and lights and LED bars and it looks like an arcade. But it's like, this is like an adult background right here. Usually my background looks like I'm a 12-year-old gaming streamer. But here we have like an adult sophisticated plants. I don't even know what that is a picture of. That's a picture of a plant. We have plants with a picture of a plant with a little fairy plant, a little fairy, brown fairy, Mexican fairy plant right there. That's that one that gets all the stuff all over your shirt. I hate those plants. But we're looking like an adult here. It's crazy. I had to add a little blue light to the side just, you know what I mean? Got to keep the little nerd. I'm wearing like this little button shirt. I mean, who am I I'm turning into a man here. I'm turning into like an old man, like an adult, like a dad. And I'm 33. I need to get my black long sleeve on, merch, my laser lights shooting over there. I'm matching the couch. What am I turning into, guys? Man, next I'm going to start reading books. That would be so weird. That's crazy. It's beautiful. Man, I'm growing up right before your guys' eyes. They grow up so fast. What's the name of the plants? I have no clue. They're fake. They're fake like a lot of pastors. What? What'd you say? It's called You're in My Space. Oh, I'm in Alyssa's space. Is that what it is? Or MySpace. Alyssa, are you trying to say you're going to put me in your top four in MySpace? Who remembers top four or top eight on MySpace? I do. If you, oh man, you know the worst day ever in those days, it was 90s, early 2000s. When was MySpace? 2005? Remember when you would have your best friend as your number one in your top five, eight? Who remembers this? You had your best friend, then you had your girlfriend as your number two. Do y'all remember this? Come on now, your cousin was like your number three. And then remember the day where, come on, chat, you know, we're all about the same age here. We're all 30s, 40s, 50s, 20s, come on. The day that you switched your girlfriend and best friend to your girlfriend was number one and your best friend was number two, whoo, that was a cold day in hell. That was a cold day in hell. All your friends were mad and angry and it was just like crazy, crazy. And now that I think about it, that's probably not a very good saying, a cold day in hell, which never happens, you know? But still, probably shouldn't be joking about hell. So yeah, I probably shouldn't say that ever again. Oh yeah, I had the custom song, the background. Come on now. We thought we were coders because we were able to get a little trickling background and all that. You guys remember that though? Yeah, those were good days. Oh man, people got mad. Your slang manhood, brother, thank you so much. Although I don't look too manly with these little buttons here. I don't know what's going on here. Mason said, should I play pickleball? Of course. Listen, if there's ever a question about pickleball, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. If you text me at 1 a.m. and said, you want to play pickleball? The answer is yes. It's never no. The only time pickleball is no is if I have, you know, something like this that I have to do. But it's always yes. Pickleball? Yes. The answer is yes. You should play pickleball. How did I get into it? Jared told me one day when I was at his house. I think it was his birthday. He said, Father, Jared looked at me and said, Father, have you ever played pickleball? And I said, Son, I've never played pickleball before. I've never heard of pickleball. He said, we have a pickleball court in my house, in my neighborhood. Let's go play. And it was love at first dink. I hit the ball, fell in love instantly, put a net up in my driveway, and I've been playing ever since, and I love it. I love it. I'm gonna go live. I was gonna do it actually yesterday, but I'm gonna go live soon while playing pickleball on Instagram. So if you guys wanna watch my pickleball lives, go on Instagram, because I think it'll be fun. Because you're always like, I wanna see you play pickleball, stream it. So yeah, I will. I hope Jared's still on. Did you catch that, Jared, that whole story there? He might be exaggerating. That's not what happened? That's not what happened. I thought it was. My bad. Do you have a video on pre-trib, post-trib? Yes. Just type in Isaiah post-trib rapture. Me and Dr. Michael Brown did a video live stream on that. All right. I got to get off here a minute because we have prayer. Oh, JD, I uploaded all of my things to podcast on Spotify. Go check it. There was something wrong in our uploading and we hadn't uploaded since August, which I didn't even know. JD, thank you for coming in my chat and then saying that my podcasts weren't on Spotify or Apple anymore since August. We uploaded every episode on Spotify. So we are up to date now with every episode on Spotify. I apologize for that. Yeah, that was months of us not realizing. Okay, it's 1:05. I have a prayer call at 1:30. If you're a monthly partner, join the prayer call. If you're not a monthly partner, become a monthly partner. Listen, you can give any amount a month. Doesn't matter. We're viewer supported, like I said. So, oh, that's kind of nice. When I go in more, that blurry background looks so good. I'm going to also start streaming in 4K on this camera too. I'm in 1080 right now, so I got to fix that. And by the way, I'm talking out loud, so I'm just reminding myself to do that. When are you going to live with Alyssa again? Whenever she wants to. Okay, so this weekend, California, Stockton, California, live song. Next weekend, Arizona, Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. And listen, for those of you that have been asking about my, if I've started going to the gym, yes, I am working out. I'm working out from my house. I built a little home gym, and I'm trying to work out every day, get in shape. No, I'm not trying to become Stephen Furtick. No, you're not gonna see me with cutoffs and me trying to flex and none of that. I'm just trying to get in shape and get healthy and all that. So yes, I've been trying to, for those of you that ask every week, are you ever gonna work out like you said you were? Yes, we are. I'm working on it. All right. So thank you guys for asking. I'm trying to get healthy. All right. Thank you for caring about my health. Okay. Pray for your viewers, general prayer. All right, Father, I pray right now that you bless every viewer today, God. I pray, Lord, that you fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, for those that are weary and tired, that you would just baptize them in the Holy Spirit and power. Anoint them, God. Refresh them, God. We pray fire over them in Jesus' name. Anoint them in Jesus' name. Fill them with your power in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, Jared and Alyssa, who's asking? Do you want me to start calling out names? because I had already multiple people ask, and another guy said, hold on, let me go to his comment. He said, Isaiah, you're looking buff. So, thank you, bro. Appreciate that. Thank you, bro. Yeah, so there you go. You guys want me to call these people out by name? Got a few people here. Do you guys, come on. How are you going to call me out? You think I'm going to be making up questions that people are asking? If that was the case, I wouldn't even be reading the chat. Or just make up questions the whole time. All right, well, as my best friend and wife accused me of making up questions, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Salute, soldier. Salute. Oh, what was that question? Someone said, wow, Alyssa is so blessed to be married to you. Alyssa, how did you find such an amazing man? You want to answer that, Alyssa? Or did I make that up? You want to answer that or did I make that up? Wow, multiple people are asking, Alyssa, how did you get so blessed to find Isaiah? How, wow. Alyssa, are you going to answer any of these questions? Do you not even see these questions? So many questions, it's overwhelming. Another thing is, guys, the comments that you see are not all the comments. You have to click on there, live chat, not top comments. So like if you go into my channel, someone said I saw you flex on the salute. If you go to my, how do I say this? If you just come on my channel and you're watching, like let's say Alyssa or Jared. Alyssa or Jared. Jared said your head's big. I missed the comment because I got too many comments coming in, bro. Sorry. If you go to the, and you just jump on, you're only going to see top comments. You're not going to see all the comments. I could see all the comments because I have a app that shows me all the Facebook and YouTube comments. If you click that little arrow on the comments and hit live comments, it'll show you every comment. So you guys are probably missing a lot of those comments. It's coming a lot faster than you probably think. Isaiah the bodybuilder doesn't make up questions. You guys really think I'm gonna make up questions? That's crazy. Another question just came in. Wow, Alyssa, you're so blessed. That's not even a question. You're just saying Alyssa's blessed. Alyssa, how do I find a guy like Isaiah? Where should I look? Should I look at the gym, church, or at the pickleball courts? Listen, you guys are asking a lot of questions for Alyssa. So all these questions about Alyssa, how did you find such an amazing husband? How did you find a man of God? All that stuff, Alyssa, it's like someone just asked like, Alyssa, does it feel like you won the lottery because you're married to Isaiah? All those questions, you guys got to ask Alyssa. Why are you asking me? See, now Alyssa, they're asking you a bunch of questions because you're accusing me of making up questions. So I don't know. Someone says, I didn't know you were a fake pastor. That's crazy. I don't even know what's going on now. All right, this is too much fun. Maybe I should just tell jokes the whole time next time. Do you like tongue tacos? If you're talking about, what is it called? What is that called again? I forgot the name of it. No, I don't. There's no business eating tongues. Tongues are for talking, not for eating. What is it called again? What's the tongue tacos called? It's on the tip of my tongue. It's lengua. It's on the tip of my tongue, lengua. No, I don't like lengua. No, it's just, why would you eat a tongue? You can't even get it out. Tongue tacos. No. All right, you're funny. Thank you. Okay. Anyways, Alyssa, if you want to stay on, you can answer all the questions. Make sure you hit all chat since you and Jared are accusing me of making up questions. You guys can read the rest of the questions that are coming in. Go ahead and hit the live chat and love you guys. I'll see you guys later. I got to go to prayer here in a minute. Where's the stop streaming button? Let's see. Stop recording. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.